Good morning, first of all.
Good morning.
Your question is, how can we know who is one of the descendants of David HaMelech? Yeah. The truth is that going back into history so many years and taking in our knowledge that most of the people here in Eretz Israel are from Shevet Yehuda. And so there is a chance for each one of us to be the Melech HaMashiach. Because the minority were Shevet Binyamin, the majority is Shevet Yehuda, and when you take a statistic, very simple statistic, through 1,000 years, so you find out that everybody is mixed. In other words, the big one swallows the small one. That's statistic. And so the big one is the tribe of Yehuda. So, first of all,
the king, the Ritu,
and the king is from the Shevet Yehuda.
And the Mashiach.
And how do people know which bloodline they come from?
We all. That's what I'm saying. So, at the end of the day, most of us are from the bloodline of David.
So, wait a minute. What's the bloodline?
Wasn't Judah? Of course, Judah. Shevet Yehuda is the Shevet of the kings tribe. David HaMelech is from Shevet Yehuda.
No,
Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda. But you see, it also, when we're talking about those things, this one says this. This one says it. Says Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu is from Shevet Levi, and so
yes.
So the idea is very simple. First of all, when we're talking about those spiritual things, the idea is a spiritual idea. Now, through the generation, there is a mix. That's why they say that the Mashiach can come any minute, and the Mashiach can be anybody. We don't know exactly how it's going to work. Now, there is Melech HaMashiach, which, first of all, there is Mashiach ben David, and there is also another Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef. So, again, general idea is that today when we're talking about who can be a Mashiach here in Eretz Israel, so, statistically speaking,
anybody.
It can be anybody.
But it must be in Israel?
What?
It could be somebody from abroad.
It could be from anywhere in the planet, in the world. He will come here and take us all to the redemption. You see, when we're talking about Mashiach Zeiten and all those things, nobody really knows what's going to be. Even the Rambam says, till it's happening, this is an idea. When it happens, we all know what it is. And that's the idea. But the idea is that we're waiting for the Mashiach to come. And the Mashiach is waiting to reveal himself. And then also another important point. They say, our sages say that exactly as Moshe Rabbeinu was revealed to the nation, the same way the Mashiach is going to reveal himself. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know till God told him that he is the Mashiach. That he is the one who's going to save Am Yisrael. Because only on the burning bush, God is telling him, you are the messenger. But till that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu was just another guy. Maybe he was more talented, maybe he had a big spirit. Okay, but he definitely didn't know that he's going to be the Mashiach, that he's going to be the one who saves Am Yisrael. So, in other words, all those who come and say, I am the Mashiach, they can shout from morning to night, you know, a Mashiach is somebody who God is going to reveal himself to him suddenly. Upit'om yavo. Suddenly the Mashiach will come, will arrive. In other words, in every generation, there is somebody suitable to be the Mashiach. That's why, for example, when they say that the Rebbe from Chabad is the Mashiach, that's a big mistake. Because maybe, I'm not saying, he could have been a Mashiach in his time, and if the generation was suitable, he could rise and says, and God will reveal himself to him and says, you are the Mashiach. But it didn't happen. And right now, he is Alav HaShalom. So he's not the Mashiach. And somebody else will come and take this position. We hope that it's going to be as soon as possible. But the idea is the Mashiach is going to reveal himself the same way as Moshe Rabbeinu revealed himself in Egypt. In other words, he doesn't know that he is the Mashiach yet. And when he knows, everybody will know. He will give you signs, and we all know that he is the Mashiach. Unfortunately, through the narration, I have a relation, a third cousin, that he wrote a whole book about Meshichei Sheker. All those people that said that they are the Mashiach. The most famous of them is the Shabtai Tzvi, that everybody knows about him. But there were a lot of others. He's not the only one. There was somebody named Frank, and there was a whole line of things. I don't want to say what he did. He wrote quite a second book, and then he put somebody else in. I'm not going to say who, but that's not the issue now. We are in Parashat Bamidbar.
But will
yes.
we all believe in?
Yes. You will see. The same way as everybody believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't worry about it, because it's going to happen in a situation that everybody will see it. There will be no questions. And as it happened in Egypt. Well, they say, the Gemara says this. The Gemara says that there is a famous in the Sanhedrin, there is a whole episode about Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, I think, that he meets Eliyahu Hanavi, and he asks him, when is the Mashiach going to come? And he tells him, go and ask this and that. Then he's asking, where is he? I'm going to ask him, tell me where he is. So he tells him he's in the gates of Rome. Now Rome is not like a physical state, it's a statement. Rome is the, let's say, the materialistic side of life. It's the opposite of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is spiritual and they are physical. They are materialistic, we are spiritual. Now he is waiting on the gate. The minute that we will leave all the materialism behind us and become spiritual, the Mashiach will come on the spot. Now it says, why is he not coming? And by the way, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is asking him, why don't you, when are you going to come? He says, today. He's asking him another question, have I got a place in the next world? He says, he tells him yes. Or in other words, but then Eliyahu Hanavi explains to him, he told you very good news, that you are going to have a part in Olam Haba. But yeah, but he lied to me. He says he's going to come today, and he didn't come. So he tell me, he didn't lie to you. He says, Ayom im bekolot ishmao. There is a pasuk says, today, if you listen to the voice of God, the Mashiach will come. So in other words, till we don't listen to the voice of God, we are still going to wait. Now, an interesting thing is being told about the Mashiach. He's situated in a place where everybody's full with wounds and they have bandages around it, and they take the bandages down and they put new bandages. And also the Mashiach is there with all those suffering. And he is not taking all the bandages off, but only one. And he takes one, puts one. He takes one and puts one. So the thing, why is he doing this? First of all, for a very simple reason. If you take all the bandages down till you put them back again, it takes time. And the Mashiach says, the minute that I'm going to be called to come and save Am Israel, I don't want to be late. So I'm taking one and putting down. So the minute I'm going to get cold, I'm going to go as quickly as possible. So the Mashiach from his side wants to come. We, unfortunately, not everybody wants him to come. So if we all, says the Chafetz Chaim, they say that he used to go everywhere with Shabbos clothes. In his suitcase. Why? He says, if the Mashiach is going to come, I'm going to dress myself to welcome the Mashiach. Now, and there is a famous story about the first Rav Soloveitchik, that they came to him and they wanted him to be a rabbi in Brisk. And he at that time decided that he doesn't want to be a rabbi anymore. He wants to sit and learn. He wants to have a peace of mind, a quiet and this. So they come to him and ask him to come, and he says, I decided not. He says, there's a few thousand Jews waiting for you to come. He says, what? The Jews are waiting, a few thousand Jews waiting for me to come? He tells the Rebbetzin, we are going. I cannot let them wait. If they're waiting, I'm going. Said the Rachafetz Chaim, look, here there are a few thousand waiting for the Rav Soloveitchik. If Am Yisrael would have really waited for the Mashiach will also say, I'm coming. So, first of all, we have to really want the Mashiach to come. And then if we do this, the Mashiach will come. We hope as soon as possible. One of the stages, by the way, we are approaching it. It's the stage of Matan Torah. If we prepared ourselves properly, and we still have a few days, to prepare ourselves to receive the Torah in a proper way, build ourselves. And this is connected to our parsha, and our parsha is written a very interesting... something that I think that there's a lot of things to learn from this pasuk. וידבר השם אל משה ואל אהרון לאמור. And God talked to Moses and Aaron and told them, איש על דגלו, each one of you on his flag, באותות, on signs, to the house of their fathers, יחנו בני ישראל מנגד, they will park against, around, אוהל מועד. What is איש על דגלו? Man on his flag. How many flags did we have? How many? 12 tribes, 12 flags. So let's say when we see the way they were organized, there were four camps. In other words, three tribes on one flag, like a central flag. So there are another four. But there is nowhere written that each one of us had a flag. What is Ish al Diglo? Ish al Diglo is each one of us had a flag. One of the interesting things to understand it, what is a flag? They say that Am Yisrael Matan Torah saw the angels coming with flags. A flag is something that...
It's
not only identity, is like I remember years ago when we went to first time to Turkey, Istanbul. And I think we came through Europe. I don't remember what it was. If we went there or back, I don't remember. The thing is, we come to the airport and there was supposed somebody to wait for us. So what do you look for? All those signs. Talking about signs. And you see the flying carpet, Tour Plus. Then you see small signs, Buzaglo family, Hermann. But there is no hamburger. Now, the feeling was very bad. You are in a strange country, strange culture, also a Muslim country, to put it in the... it's not a nice feeling. And you see all the people coming near the signs, and then I reminded this, Ish al Diglo. It's so important to be a part of something. And the flag is the thing that puts everybody together. When somebody is winning in the Olympics or in any sport, and what do they do first?
Raise the flag of the country.
The flag of the country. Somebody in the States burned the American flag. You know what they did to him? Put him in jail. Well, it's just a piece of material.
That's not it.
But it's much more than it. It's a symbol.
I don't know. It's in Israel. In the Arabs burned the Israeli flag.
That's an issue by itself. You see, all those Arabs now protesting want to go in to our borders. You tell me if there is one country in the world that will allow a thing like this to happen.
No.
And not kill those people who are trying to go into the border. But we are the aggressors. They are tzaddikim.
They
are holy people.
The American embassy, there was PLO. There.
And I must say, we're talking about the Mashiach coming. I think it's Mashiach Zeitung. If Baruch Hashem, we have the privilege to have the American embassy in Jerusalem, Baruch Hashem, it shows us that things are moving in the right direction. Hopefully, I'm hoping it's only the start, and the Mashiach will come. So all the riots around us, it's just a part of the signs of the Mashiach.
And my prime minister said she won't move. Theresa May, what with the British?
They will all move and they will all come and bow to the Mashiach when the time will come. mainly now want to understand what God wants us to do. So God wants us, Ishal Diglo. What is Ishal Diglo? So not only the idea of I have a flag that I can stand near it and be a part of this community, of this state, of this group. And every group's got a flag. Now the Torah is telling us that each one of us got a flag. Each one of us is an individual. Is an individual that got talents, that got abilities. And the Torah is telling, Ishal Diglo, don't lose your identity. The Torah doesn't want, you know, we talk all the time about being together, united. And sometimes people can, be, by mistake, think that we all have to be the same. No, definitely not. If we all be the same, nothing will happen. But imagine to yourself, the general of the army comes, says, why do we need air force and tanks and intelligent and all those different groups in the army? This is not good. We have to be one group. Go to war as one group. Let's put all the army in one group. What do you think is going to happen? Not only Balak, first of all, they're going to throw him out of his job. No, you're a little crazy. What you have? You need air force. You need intelligent. You need the troopers. You need everybody, because that's the way army is built. The same way as a state is built. The same way as Am Yisrael built. Each one of us got a different talent, and we have to use it because that's why God gave it to us. So God is telling us, don't do a mistake. You have to be together, but Ish al diglo. You have a job, a personal job. You do this job. You try to do the best you can. You build yourself. That's Sfirat HaOmer. What is the idea of Sfirat HaOmer? By the way, you know, Diglo. What is it, Diglo? Diglo in Gematria, when you say the Dalet, the Gimel, and the Lamed, and the Vav, you have 49. What is 49?
The Omer.
So God is telling you there are 49 days to build yourself. As an individual and as a part. As he says, Ish al diglo bo'otot lebet avotam. There is a way, and the way is the way of our fathers, of our parents. And it's also written in another place, lemishpechotam. That's the way. We're going in the way of our parents. And what is the way? Saviv le'oel moed. In the center, there is the Torah, the oel moed. The center is the Torah. We are all gathering around the Torah. Each one of us with its own flag, together. That's the idea of coming to Matan Torah. Vayichan Sham Yisrael ke'ish echad belev echad. When we come to Matan Torah, we have to be as one. But it doesn't mean, I say in Hebrew, you say, achdut lo achidut, to be together, but each one of us with his individual personality. Because otherwise you didn't do anything. We need our own personality. And that's the only way that you can build Am Yisrael. Otherwise, you cannot do anything. The interesting thing, I must take a few words on this. The beginning of the parsha of Sefer Bamidbar, where the Ber Hashem Moshe Midbar Sinai talks to him in the desert of Sinai, which is a thing by itself, but then he says, "Su et rosh kol adab bnei Yisrael mishpechotam lebet avotam bemispar shemot." You count now Am Yisrael. You raise up their heads and put them to the families, to the house of their fathers, bemispar shemot. It says, "In the number of names." What is in the number of names? When you deal with something important, do you count it as 1, 2, 3, or you give it a name?
You give it a name.
In the Holocaust, what did the Nazis do?
Gave numbers.
They took our names and gave us numbers. Yeah. You are nothing. You are just a number. So when here is stricken Beshomot, each one of us is important. So we are counted not as numbers, but as names. Because if anything that is important, you give it a name. So this is also so many things in just reading the Torah and understanding each word's got a meaning.
I remember when I was there for my father, he used to teach Cheder, and he's
Interesting.
You said the Haredim don't count.
No, you're not allowed to count. You're not allowed to count echad, shtayim, shalosh people. That's exactly the point. Mm-hmm. That can be a plague. You count. You can count names. You can count when you say a pasuk. It's an interesting point.
It leads to problems because sometimes a large family, a child gets left behind in a vehicle. It's happened.
Sorry?
It's happened that a child's been left behind in a vehicle. Yeah. You know, they've had a minivan and they've got 12 children and I saw it happen
in one of the years ago when we went, I think, where was it, the Negev somewhere. And this Haredi guy, he had like maybe 12 children, and suddenly find out that he's missing one. There is no problem counting. The thing is how you count. Mm-hmm. There is a whole big thing in Am Yisrael about counting people. Now, God is counting us because he loves us, but there is a way to count. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going, and that's, by the way, David HaMelech did the counting and there was all big thing about it, why he did it.
Now, how do you take the census?
What do you mean?
The census of people.
It's not...
It's their features.
You see, even now I can count the people. I want to know how many people are here. But I don't count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't count them as numbers. I can count by day. I can look at them. I can ask everybody to bring a thing. There isn't something very important in not counting people and pointing on them and counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You can always say not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4.
Could be. I don't know. That's an interesting idea. And,
I've heard them do it in a synagogue.
Australia, and she was picked out for counting the children, and she didn't understand why.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about it, but it's a thing that you don't count people. That's why when you see here, every time when we do counting, it's the giving money, half a shekel. That's the way the Am Yisrael were counted. You counted the coins and not the people. And by the way, they say also in business. The blessing is in something that you don't see. So you don't count your money. You have to do the calculation, of course. But be very careful with counting what you've got. Because then, you know, it's ayin hara, which means they look at you, he's counting his money, he's counting his this. There is a bad atmosphere when you count things. But of course, there are ways to do it. And we have to count the things sometimes. But you have to know that there is something in it. It's not so simple. Let's put it there. It's not. I don't look at it. It's a mystical thing or whatever. It's if our sages tell us not to count by number, they know what they say. There are a lot of ideas around it, but the general idea is it's not. I don't think it's such a terrible thing if you need sometimes to count people. But you see that a lot of religious people normally will not count echad, shtayim, shalosh, arba, chamesh. They will find a way to do it. You can call names. That's what they do. You call names, and you see that everybody is there. And of course, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. So Moshe, Yaakov, Leah, Rachel. Okay, V. Everybody is here. No problem. So there are ways to go around it. The idea of really building ourselves and still be a part of the whole. And what we call is the basic of everything, v'ahavta l'racha kamocha, because this is what we're approaching, Chag HaShavuot, and Chag HaShavuot we're supposed to be united as one. But it's very easy to say, not very easy to do. So, I don't know if I told you about it, but I think it was before Pesach once, I went to buy something, and really a few things, and there was big lines everywhere. Before Pesach, and I see this small line says, okay, I'm going to go there. Unfortunately, I realized very quickly that the girl there is doing the cheshbon. She's beginning, and let's say we are the, that's why it was a short line. People realize what's going on there. I had two people in front of me, and they had full carriage, like full, wow. And it was going so slowly because you take it out, You put it on the counter. She takes it, does the barcode. Then she moves to the other side. And then, you know, it fills up. And she has to take them to the... Put it back in the... How do you say? The agala? In the wagon. In the trolley. The trolley. And the problem is the trolley is still on this side. So there is nowhere to put it. So you have to wait. And it's coming. It's coming slower and slower. Then suddenly I saw this... Was this mother and daughter in front of me. They also had this pixie. And she's telling something to her daughter. And her daughter went to the other side. And she was helping. The mother was taking out the stuff, giving it to the counter, the cashier. And she was taking, then was taking, putting it into the bags. And it was moving. Wow, I said, wow, this is unbelievable. This is really... Like, in all the things you've got, you leave everything and you help this lady in order for her to be quicker out of the supermarket. After l'racha kamocha. This is real love. Then I thought, 1 minute. Who is she really helping?
Herself.
Herself. Because the minute this lady is going to go as quickly as possible out, she's also going to go quickly out. If she's not going to help, it's going to take her another hour. So who is she really helping?
Herself.
And then I thought, 1 minute, this is a beautiful idea. If Am Israel, if we all understand and realize that when helping my fellow man, I'm helping who? Myself. Maybe I look at it differently. It will be for me much easier. And this is a way to look at it. Because that's the real truth. At the end of the day, if you help your friend, you help yourself. V'ahavta l'racha kamocha is if we are all, if we are one part, if we are one unit, if I help my arm, who do I help? Myself. In other words, in order to get this feeling that we are whole and understand that each thing, good thing that I do for my friends, I'm really doing it for me, will help me to understand that it's good to help. Maybe it's not so nice to look at things this way. Wow, that's not v'ahavta l'racha kamocha. But maybe that's the way God wants us to look, in order from... Mitoch shelo lishma, magia lishma. So maybe today I'm going to do it from a, let's say, egoistic point of view. But I'm going to do it. And the idea is I want to get to v'ahavta l'racha kamocha at a higher level. But in order to fight Yetzer Hara, I'm telling Yetzer Hara, don't worry, we're helping ourselves. Not this lady, we're helping ourselves. Ah, Yetzer Hara said, oh, if this is the case, egoistic point of view, let's help her. But then from this point, when you get used to help people, then you do it willingly, just to help. And that is the idea. And this is maybe the best way to build ourselves, in a proper way to get to this level of helping each other, v'ahavta l'racha kamocha, in a proper way. And then it's ish al diglo, then each one of us with his own abilities, with his own talents, can stand together and Chag HaShavuot and receive the Torah. That's like the Rambam says. Rambam says that each one has to look at the world as bad and good is equal. So in other words, any action I'm going to make is going to influence the whole world, not only me. That's also the way to look at things. To understand and realize that those small actions we do, because it's okay, who am I? I'm a small guy. This is also something we have to realize. Each one of us is a star. Now, when you look at the stars from here, what do you see? A small thing like this. But we all know that some of the stars are even bigger than our planet. In other words, each one of us is a star. But sometimes we are looking from distance on our abilities. Says, who am I? And I must say, you can do things unbelievable. Unbelievable things you can do. Talking about educating our kids. So this week I'm going, and every minute I'm listening, I'm saying, the Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Sar HaTorah, is going to bless everybody in good education to his children if they donate this for orphans and things. You know, when I hear those things, something in me is getting very angry. Because I'm sorry today, you donate money because you want to donate money, not because you're going to benefit something out of it. Because that's exactly wrong to say that. Yeah. Now, I know Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And I years ago asked him to bless my children to be Talmidei Chachamim. You know what he told me? Send them to Talmud Torah. There are no shortcuts in education. You want to educate your kids? You have to work for it. No blessing, no sgula is going to help if you don't help yourself and your children. And this is the idea, Ish al Diglo. Diglo is 49. Those are 49 stages in education. Those are 49 stages of purity to get out of the impurity. Because they say that in Egypt, Am Yisrael were in 49 Sha'ari Tum'ah. They were in impurity. So they had to go out. And these 49 days, we started counting when we got out of Egypt on Leil HaSeder. And the next night, we started counting to build ourselves. And then, after 49 days, we were prepared to receive the Torah. In other words, those, you can call those 49, Diglo Alay Ahava. It says, what Diglo Alay Ahava? It says, Matan Torah is all around this idea of love. And to get this love is to use our own talent and take it not only for ourselves, but for all of us. Each one of us take his own tool and put them in the middle. This is my donation to the society. And this is the only way to do it in a proper way. So if somebody tells me that Chaim Kanievsky said it's going, I don't believe it. It's all, unfortunately today they use names of rabbis and they do things that I'm sure that the rabbis are not behind it. Because Chaim himself told me years ago, you want to educate your kids? That's the word he told me. Do it. You have to do it by yourself. Otherwise it's not going to work. So, ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, as we see, is our, let's say, our way to receive the Torah. And in order to do this, Ishal Diglo, each one of us is his own flag. And Diglo, he says, 49 stages of building ourselves in order to get to Matan Torah. That's what is in our parsha, which always is being read before Matan Torah. And then each one of us, together around the Mount of Sinai, together around the Torah, will gather together, and together we, Be'ezrat Hashem, will receive the Torah and the Geula Shlema B'mera B'yameinu. Amen.